Once again, it's been an amazing week filled with all types of drama. Speaker McCarthy ousted, some strange things going on there. We're going to talk about the debt clock today and more. Don't forget, folks, you can go to andweknow.com/gold in the description box below. Reach out to Dr. Kirk Elliott anytime, and they will get back to you in about 24 to 48 hours. It's been absolutely amazing, the support they've been providing. And so we're looking forward to the show today. So, what's on the agenda? What's one of the big things that you wanted to show us today?
You know, biggest thing that's happened this week, happened at the beginning of the week, and that's the debt ceiling talks, right? So somebody asked me on Monday, they said, "Hey, Kirk, what's the most dangerous thing facing America right now economically?" It's like, that's the debt ceiling. This person said, "Are you crazy? It's just a dumb thing to say. They keep raising the debt ceiling every year for like the last 20 years. How is that any different?" So here's why I think this is significantly different this time, LT. So throughout history, like the last 20 years, 16 of them, we've run out of money, right? Mm-hmm. So they have to keep raising the debt ceiling. Then Congress is just a rubber stamp approval. It's like, yeah, let's raise the debt ceiling, done. Don't even talk about it because they don't want to face the implications of not, right? Which would be federal employees, including military, wouldn't get paid. People with federal pensions wouldn't get paid. School workers wouldn't get paid, right? So people on entitlements, welfare, mandatory payments, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, food stamps, women, infant children, they wouldn't get paid, right? So it's like, we don't want that. That's a mutiny. So they always just rubber stamp the debt ceiling rates. Now, how could they do that? Well, it's because since 1944, we've been the world's reserve currency, right? So when they raise the debt ceiling, they know that there's always built-in demand for our currency, always. So in 1944, the Bretton Woods Act made us the reserve currency, meaning all international settlements from country to country are traded in U.S. dollars. Now, okay. In 1973, that was actually put on steroids for the most part, because we then became the petrodollar as well, meaning all settlements of oil from country to country are traded in U.S. dollars. So now it's like, boom, boom, oil and all transactions between countries traded in U.S. dollars, built-in demand for our currency. So in the past, when Congress wanted to raise the debt ceiling, it's like, yeah, we can do it, because we just got money coming in, you know, from other countries. It'll fund it, and we don't have to worry about, low demand for our currency. This is how all this happened. But a few weeks ago, you and I were talking, mm-hmm, on the show. And it's like, I don't know if actually it's going to be really rubber stamp approval this time, right? It's like, it wasn't our exact words, but it was kind of speculating, might be kind of a hard path this time. Here's the reason why. Because something big happened the end of August, and that is the BRICS meeting. Mm-hmm. So, and we've covered that incessantly, but the bullet points are, the beginning of the meeting, Putin said, we're going to de-dollarize the world. It's irreversible, and it's our objective, right? So how do they de-dollarize? By actually trading back and forth with their own currency, which is 70% of the world's population in the BRICS currencies, right? All those countries are using their own currencies and not the U.S. dollar. And then the last day of the BRICS meeting, they added 6 of the 9 largest oil producers on the planet, including Saudi Arabia and United Arab Emirates.
Right.
So that de-dollarized us by getting rid of the petrodollar. So now, when Congress wants to raise the debt ceiling, they know that there's no demand for the dollar. It becomes an issue. It's not necessarily a rubber stamp, right? So because if they want to raise it, they're going to have to print the money on their own. Well, this violates the narrative of the Biden administration, which says we're actually winning this war on inflation. See, we didn't have to raise interest rates last month. We mm-hmm. got to put it on pause.
Okay.
Our wages are going up, or, you know, this inflation isn't a big deal. This actually would violate everything that they said. So they can't have that, right? So because they would have to print money like there's no tomorrow to fund a debt ceiling raise. And the way that they slow that down is to raise interest rates. This is their pickle, right? So what did Biden ultimately end up doing? Well, he basically passed a debt ceiling extension that McCarthy got Congress to sign, right? So So here's where it starts to get a little bit weird. Because what did they do? They just extended the debt ceiling for 45 days. They didn't raise it. They didn't say no. They just extended it for 45 days. So if we go back in history a few months to when the last time they had the debt ceiling talks, and I remember you and I were talking about this one too, was we were afraid that they were going to raise the debt ceiling by a few trillion dollars the last time they got together. They didn't. They didn't raise it by a few trillion. They did something much worse. They gave Congress a blank check until the election. Remember that? It's like just unlimited spending until the election. So when you just extend the debt ceiling 45 days, you bring in those provisions that we passed last time. So they have an unlimited blank check for the next 45 days. Now, there's a big exclusion to that. And that is no more new funding for the Ukraine conflict. No more new funding is going to Ukraine under this 45 days. So you've got Ukraine Zelensky saying, what, America? What? You've already given us $43 billion and now you're cutting bait now? It's like, what? Putin's going to run us over. And then Putin's probably sitting there foaming at the mouth thinking, hey, the United States isn't funding Ukraine anymore. We're going to go in and destroy them, right? So from basically this debt ceiling talk, we've got geopolitical conflict that has come from this. Mm-hmm. We've got domestic political conflict because McCarthy signed this thing, right? And got pushed it through. It's like, okay, he got ousted. Well, first time Speaker of the House was ousted, right? Mm-hmm. So major political conflict. And so I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, okay, you've got some hardline GOP, hard money people that are saying, you know, we're never going to pass a debt ceiling increase. We're done giving blank checks to Congress, right? That you're mortgaging America's future and sending future generations down the river without a paddle, right? I mean, they're done. Right. Then you've got the other part of the GOP, which is basically turned into the Uniparty, right? Which is the globalists, the other Republicans, the Democrats, the World Economic Forum people. I mean, seriously, that what did they say? I mean, if it's not an exact quote, it's awfully close. They said, we're not cutting spending. It's like, okay.
Oh my God.
It's not much more unclear than.
Yeah, they're exposed. I
mean, seriously. So, it's like, wait a second, what party are you from, right? Mm. What happened to the good old GOP that was fiscal responsibility from the Reagan years, right? And I'm sure Democrats today are saying the same thing. What happened to my grandparents' Democrat Party? It's like, we're now communists, right? I mean, you're seeing this weird decay of civilization because we've lost our compass, our moral compass. We've turned away from God. We're living on debt, which is borrowed money, which the Bible says a borrower is a slave to the lender. We're focusing on hate rather than God's love for people, right? I mean, it's just bizarre world that we're living in, right? So anyways, you've got this stuff that's happening and 45 days from now, mid-November, right before Thanksgiving, they're going to have the debt ceiling talks again. Now, because they extended the debt ceiling, mainstream media is spouting off about, ooh, Congress is good. They're going to fix this. They'll get it squared away. The economy's solid. The economy's robust. Look what Biden's doing. Silver comes, you know, crashing down a couple bucks, right? And gold came down. Why? No real reason other than listening to the mainstream media narrative. Because if fundamentally nothing changed, LT, then you know that somebody's lying and something's off, right? So what causes gold and silver to go up? Unsustainable debt. Okay, check. We've got that. Inflationary pressures. Check. We have that. Political chaos. Yep. Political instability. Yep. We've got all of that, right? So therefore, nothing changed. So then why'd the price come down? Because they're listening to the mainstream media narrative. To me, it's like a buying opportunity of a generation when we're in the midst of this huge bull market in metals that's being driven for strong fundamentals and you get a temporary discount. This is incredible, right? So you've got that's been happening since the beginning of the week. then I saw this. I always look at usdebtclock.org because I think, and okay, you pulled it up on the screen and it's a jumbled mess, right? but yet everything on there has a purpose and it's just raw data, right? People can make numbers lie. But when you look at, I'm going to show you what to look at on here because to me, it's the most important part. So if you go to the very right, there's a screen square with the red arrow next to it, yep, right at the top there. So that's dollar supply. That is M2 money supply, which is checking accounts, savings accounts, money markets. That's very liquid funds, right? So that's the funds that you have in your banks. It's down almost $800 billion since the beginning of the year. $800 billion. But people say, well, Kirk, what gives? Have you been lying? Because you've always said that inflation is a function of an increasing money supply. We've got inflation, but that money supply number's come down by $800 billion. It's like, nope, not lying. Different money supply number, right? Because they'll trick you into thinking that this is good, right? Because but really a couple years ago, there's another money supply called MZM. MZM is the total amount of dollars that they created that goes towards foreign aid, stimulus, and everything else. They stopped measuring that one a couple years ago because they don't want people to know how much money they're printing. So it's a lot. That's why we have the massive inflation that we have today, because our currency is being devalued globally. What this number shows us on the screen is that money is leaving the banking system, right? So there's more withdrawals than there are deposits, or the Fed is just pulling money out, pulling paper out of the system in exchange for a future world where we're issuing digital currency, central bank digital currency. Because in their world, you can't have both running concurrently. You can't have paper money, which is private, digital currency, which is the absolute opposite of private, because they can cut you off from buying or selling if they don't like you, which means they're monitoring you, mm-hmm, right? So this tells me that there's banking failures 2.0 that's coming, right? Mm. So because if money is leaving the system and banks don't have enough money to lend out, or they're scared to lend it out, or only with people with immaculate credit can get anything, and mortgage rates are as high as they've been in 40 something years. I mean, it's ridiculous, right? Yep. It's absolutely out of control. Mortgage rates are approaching 8% on a 30-year mortgage. Eight. I mean, so this is going to impact the housing market. It's going to impact the bond market, all of it, right? I mean, bonds have come crashing down. Rising interest rate environment causes the price of bonds to come down, right? So as we start to look at these things, it starts to paint a little bit of a picture just from seeing this usdebtclock.org. Now, look at those yellow arrows that are coming from that green box with the red arrow, right? So they're pointing to the price of gold and silver ratio compared to the dollar. Well, zero. It's been zero since the beginning of the year. And I've had people call with, you know, kind of conspiratorial type messages. It's like, Kirk, it's zero. It means they're changing the money to a rainbow currency or something else. It's like, no, it doesn't mean that. It just means that the U.S. money supply is decreasing, and you take the price of silver, divide it by the money supply, it gives you the ratio, right? Well, you can't divide by zero without getting zero, right? And the money supply is growing negative, so it's less than zero, right? So that's why they show up as zero. But something on here is really interesting. If you look at that middle section there, the dollar to silver ratio in 1913, the year the Federal Reserve started, silver was $2.69 an ounce.
Okay.
Now, if for the last 10 months, it's been zero, which we all know it's not. Silver's like $23 an ounce and gold's like $2,000. It's not zero, but you can't divide by zero. So what they did on this U.S. debt clock is they added this last column that said, with all of the inflationary pressures that we're seeing and the manipulation in the markets, if you were to take out the manipulation, just account for the inflationary pressures, over the last 10 years, the average price silver should be $1,121 an ounce. I'm not talking about gold at $1,000 an ounce plus. I'm talking about silver. And over the last 5 years, which would include the COVID massive expansion of the money supply to fund every stimulus under the sun, should be $1,558 per ounce, right? So even at its, you know, average there, you know, from where silver is today at 20 something, you know, $21, $22 an ounce to $1,121, that's a multiplier of like 60.
Oh, 60. Wow.
So silver is 60 times less expensive than what it should be because of inflationary pressures, which is tells us there's a lot of manipulation in the markets. Now, gold on this chart was $27.22 an ounce the day the Federal Reserve came into existence. Same narrative as silver. You look at over the last 10 years, you know, for inflationary pressures, take out manipulation,
right?
$9,300 an ounce. The last five, $12,500. Well, if gold's at about 2,000, 12,500 is high. Well, that's a 6 times multiplier. So here's where you look at the two. Gold is 6 times less expensive. You know, silver's about, well, 60 times less expensive.
Right.
It's a bargain, right? It's like one of the best buys of the century. Even if I'm the dumbest forecaster on the planet. I mean, literally, I don't even fog up a mirror. I'm so dumb, right? And I'm 90% wrong. Well, 90% of 1,121, we'll use even the lower number, that's $112 an ounce, even if I'm 90% wrong, right? So I think silver and gold have, the sky's the limit when you start to look at the logic and the fundamentals and the trends and what causes them to move. Political instability, unsustainable debt, inflationary pressures. We've got all of those, right? Mm-hmm. But LT, I think it gets worse. It's because if you scroll down to the bottom of this screen, there's a big, long red bar. Yes, that bar right there in the middle of the screen. So what it shows is Social Security liability, $23 trillion. Medicare liability, about $36 trillion. Okay, this is the big one. U.S. unfunded liabilities. What's that? U.S. unfunded liabilities, to me, is actually the true national debt, because it's everything that Congress has passed, all these spending bills that they passed, but we haven't funded yet. But we're going to have to, because once a bill is passed or law is passed that you give something to somebody, it's really hard to take it away, right? Think of entitlements. Think of Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. Once you're giving it, it's really difficult to take it back.
Okay.
So these laws, the U.S. unfunded liabilities already passed by Congress, $194 trillion worth. They're spending like drunken sailors, LT. So when I look at that, I view that as, okay, that's really truly our future national debt in the not too distant future, because these are just bills that have already been passed. It's like, oh my word. Right. There's no way that that's economically sustainable. There's no way, because our gross domestic product is like in the upper 20 trillions. Our national debt's 33 trillion. Our national debt is more than our gross domestic product. Whenever that ratio hits 100, it's lights out. That country never actually recovers from that fully economically. We've surpassed that a long time ago, where we have more debt than we have gross domestic product. That's dangerous to an economy, right? So there's really no sustainability in the debt that we're seeing right now. There's no sustainability because income is coming down. They're going to have to print more money because of what the BRICS nations did in August.
Right.
It's pretty bleak economically, right? And so now we've got political chaos. McCarthy's ousted.
Yep.
They have a temporary House Speaker, right? He's going to try to hold things together. Here's where I think it gets really interesting. I've heard Trump's name floated as House Speaker. He was floated last time.
Right.
Yep. But he got like 6 votes or something. It wasn't very much.
Right.
This time it might be more.
Correct.
It truly might be a lot more because of the incompetency of Congress in passing these debt bills that are unsustainable.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are just searching for truth and for accountability in something that's real. And they're not seeing it with what we have in the economy right now.
Hmm. So when you saw that they were talking about that again, I mean, what do you think on a personal level, how that would play out if he did step in? You know, what's your personal opinion, how that would work out?
So, well, there would be chaos and mutiny, and people would say he's not eligible. He can't do that. He's not even in Congress. Well, you don't have to be.
Yeah.
you really don't have to be. So I think there would be a lot of political upheaval, which would impact the markets in a bad way. It always does. Mm-hmm. But I think that would America would speak very loudly if that happened, right? Yeah. Because they would say, we want something that's true. We want somebody that we can trust. We want somebody that's a good business person who can get us out of this economic mess. I mean, that's what he's known for. He's a good business person. I mean, he's a negotiator like nobody else. And he's proven that he can grow the economy like no one else. You know, Reagan did a really good job. Trump did a really good job. Everybody else following Reagan were just riding on his coattails.
Yeah. Right?
Because they use the same. I mean, whether it was Bush or Clinton, they all followed on Reagan's policies because they worked. Right. Yeah. So I think we're going to have chaos, but you know, you always hear these big stories of, well, okay, so Trump could actually be the president without actually running for president, because if Biden can't be in and Kamala's not even eligible, then it would just go to the Speaker of the House and Trump would ride in and be president, right? It's like, okay, that's an interesting theory. Mm-hmm. That'd be awesome if that happened, right?
Yep. We're also getting the 100-day thing that's been floating around a lot.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely. So I think when you start, and you're really good at this, LT, is when you start to connect the political dots, the puzzle pieces, the economic puzzle pieces, the social puzzle pieces, the spiritual ones, it looks like America and the world is actually falling apart, and people are needing somebody to rise up and be a strong leader, which we don't have strong leadership right now.
Right.
So I think ultimately, after the mayhem dust settles, it would be an amazing thing, because he would toe the line. Now, spiritually, we're looking at some really ugly stuff too. I mean, I saw comments from the Pope on, you know, potentially sanctioning same-sex unions, right? It's like, the Catholic Church is going to go into upheaval over that.
That's right.
Right? I mean, so you just have things kind of falling apart everywhere, all at the same time. And to me, when that happens, it's not coincidental. I think they're just physical manifestations of a spiritual battle that's being waged.
That's right. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. We even saw some comms in one of his recent speeches, President Trump, where he mentioned you'll see some changes in less than 5 months. And we're like, what did he just throw in there? You know, and he says, you know, things could happen where I'm back in less than 5 months. Right. Wait, there's an election in 2024 November. You do the math, that doesn't make sense. And so when I see things like that slipped into a speech, I don't think it's a coincidence. I think it's just preparing us little by little to, you know, get a little bit excited and also wonder if he's talking about him stepping back in somehow in some way. And so anyway, that's pretty exciting on our end for this show specifically to see something like that play out. And so we're just so grateful for you, Dr. Kirk Elliott. I've been wondering about this debt clock. It has been popping up quite a bit on social media. I believe there was a Bible verse about money changers and having the
table. There was somebody hacked it and threw that on there.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. And so, to see, again, just reinforcing the precious metals once again as a great time to go in, and even now more so as a great bargain, is definitely encouraging for all of us as we're listening to all this play out. So again, you can go in the description box below, everyone, andweknow.com/gold. Please do not forget to just click on there or give them a call, and you'll just see so many great things happening, changes, and their staff is so amazing. So thank you once again, Dr. Elliott. We're looking forward to another update coming soon, and a lot of things hopefully playing out the next few months.
Yep, I look forward to it. We'll talk again real soon.
All right, God bless.
God bless.